thought you did to Ephraim Bruchfeld.
Morning. I'd like to learn together with you a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara tells us a story, a very interesting story. Ahi Safte, there was an old lady, the Asui Lekabein Rav Nachman. She came to Rav Nachman. Amrulei, she complained to him, Reish Geluse Vekulu Rabunan de Reish Geluse, Reish Geluse and all the Rabunan surrounding him, Besuke Gezule Have Yosse. They are sitting in a sikke which is stolen. As Rashi explains, the Avder Reish Geluse stole her, the schach from this lady and put it on top of their sukke, and therefore she says all the Rabunan sit in a sukke which doesn't belong to them. Yosve Tzofche, she screamed, V'loyashkich bo Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman ignored her. She screams and he ignores her. Amrelei, she said to him, Is this a woman? The Havelei Levue, her father had Tlos Meyu V'tam Nesure Avdei. Her father had 318 slaves. Tzofche Kamaychu V'loyashkich Yisubo. She's screaming in front of you and you're not listening. Omalu Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman answered, Pe'ise hidu. She's screaming. Ve'ei lo elu de me'eitzim belvad. She's only entitled to the worst, to the value of the schach. And it was very difficult to understand. First of all, why is Rav Nachman ignoring a poor lady who comes and complains? Second of all, why is she speaking about her father with 318 slaves? You might say, we don't have to understand what the woman meant. But then it wouldn't be written in our Gemara. So Rashi explains that this is a reference to our parsha. Le'avur means le'avurum avinu. Yelide beisoy shmoyne eser v'shulish meis. In this week's parsha, when Avurum goes and he fights the meluchim, he takes with him 318 slaves. So she's saying, I'm a descendant of Avurum Avinu. How can you treat me that way? But there are many things that we see about Avurum Avinu. That's not the only thing which is mentioned in the Torah. Why is she mentioning that? So how do you understand her complaint? And why is Rav Nachman ignoring her? So on the second question, the Ksav Sofer in Shuvah says that the reason why he was ignoring her was for her own good. The Aluch, as the Gemur explains later, there is a takunis moresh, which means a person who stole something has a chiv to give back whatever he stole. Veishev is agzeile asher guza. However, when a person steals a piece of wood, a beam, and he builds a house with it, and then you'll require him to dismantle that house, it'll be too difficult for him. So the Chazal made a takun in order to facilitate, to help this gazlan to do tshuva, it's enough to give back the value and not the piece of wood. However, that's only when he anyway won't dismantle that building. But the sukkah, every person or most people dismantle it after 7 days. So there, do we have a takunis hashuvin, do we have a takunis moresh on a sukkah or not? So the Gemara says depends. In the 7 days of sukkahs, then there is a takunis moresh. Because even though it will only last 7 days, but because it's a mitzvah, we don't look at it as something which will be destroyed. And therefore, if the case was on sukkahs, then the person is only entitled to the value of that wood. However, if it's after sukkahs, then we assume that anyway it will be dismantled any day, and therefore the person can claim the wood itself. Says the Ksav Sofer, she came on sukkahs. Straight, she says, they're sitting in a sikke gzule. And she wanted the wood back. She didn't want the money, she wanted the wood. So Rav Nachman said, don't come now, come next week. Because the Ritva holds that even if the tviya was done on sikkes, doesn't make a difference when it was paid back. If the claim was done on sikkes, then the person is only entitled to the value. So Rav Nachman said, you're screaming, don't come now, come next week. But she didn't give up. And she insisted. Rav Nachman said, if you insist, then I can only allow you to receive the money and not the schach. So we understand Rav Nachman's answer. But what was she referring to when she spoke about the 318 slaves? And why is the Gemara telling us that? Reb Tzurik HaKohen says a fascinating explanation, which is relevant to this parsha and to that Gemara. When Avraham Avinu went and fought his war, it was against all rules of nature to win that war. We see later, when the Melech Sodom comes to Avraham and says, "Harichush kach loch," he said, "I never thought I'll see it back." It was a situation where no one dreamt that Avraham Avinu would win this war, which is called Yirsh, giving up all hope. Avraham Avinu didn't give up hope. Avraham Avinu said, "I'm going anyway." He went and he fought the war. He trusted Hashem, and we know that he won that war. The Torah tells us he took 318 slaves with him. So the Gemara in the Durim says, according to one opinion, that it wasn't 318 slaves. It was Eliezer, and the Gematria of Eliezer is 318. So just say Eliezer. So why does the Torah say 318? Says Reb Tzedek HaKohen, where does the name Eliezer come from? We know Moshe Rabbeinu had a son called Eliezer. Why did he call him Eliezer? Elokei uvi be'ezri, ve'yatzileini mecherev paroi. When Moshe Rabbeinu was almost killed by paroi, when there was no hope, when there was a situation of despair, Moshe Rabbeinu trusted Hashem. And he said, Elokei uvi be'ezri. And he was saved miraculously. So Eliezer represents the name, which even in a situation where there seems to be no hope, through entrusting Hashem, there's always hope. So therefore, Avraham Avinu went with Eliezer. He went with the Eved Avraham, which symbolizes not giving up hope. Says Reb Tzedek HaKohen, the gematria of Yirsh, Yud, Aleph, Vuv, Shiem, is 317. The gematria of Eliezer is 318, which is the number above Yirsh, which means that a person rises above the despair and entrusted Hashem. So therefore, says Reb Tzedek, Avraham Avinu, by doing that, Ma'ase Uvoy Simen Lebunim. Whatever we read in these parashas is not a story that happened once upon a time. Every act of the Uvis had a big influence on us. And therefore, by not giving up, by not being Messiahish, Avraham Avinu instilled in every Yid, in every person, this koyach, whatever situation he might be in, if it's a physical danger or spiritual danger, a person should never despair. And this koyach for Yidden not to despair, as we saw throughout history, is something which was given to us through the avoid of Avraham Avinu. He goes on saying that the birth of Klal Yisrael, so to say, was also in a situation of despair, when Avraham Avinu and Soro were sure that they wouldn't have any offsprings, as the Torah says, "Vatitzchak Soro bekirbo." But still they entrusted Hashem, and from there came Klal Yisrael, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and so forth. And also the Geula Asida, says Reb Tzedek, the Gemur Sanhedrin says, "The Ein Ben David Bo Ad Shidis Yashu Min HaGeula." When there will be a situation of seemingly despair, no way out, then Mashiach will come. Because that's the DNA of a Yid. I recently saw a story of Rebbe Chiya Mechlov's lordship when he came and he visited his Rebbe, the Maggid of Mezritch. The Gabbe opened the door when he knocked on the door and he said, "Now is not a good time to come in." "So what's wrong?" "There is someone in the family of the Maggid who's very ill, and it seems to be that there's no way out, and therefore the Maggid is, if you may say so, not in a good mood, and therefore better don't come now." He said, "I want to come in now." So Mechlov Zlotchev said, "He wants to come in now, you don't refuse." He said, "Come in." He went to the Maggid and said to the Maggid, "I'm convinced that tonight, by the cedar, by supper time, that person, that boy, will join us." When the Maggid heard that, suddenly his mood changed. And miraculously, this boy recovered. And at night, it wasn't just a supper, it was a suda soidur when this person came with them. And then the Maggid said, "You should know, I saw clearly that Shar et Filis Ninalu, there was no way how to poili Yeshia for that boy. However, when the Maggid of Zlotchev came and instilled this hope, and he told me that there's no reason to despair, this itself drew the Yeshua. This itself, not to despair, to keep up the hope. Eliezer lekei uvi be'ezi v'atzileini mecheref par afil cheref chad umunach tzavur shel udam al yisyaesh. This is which brought to the Yeshua. Now, if we come back to this Gemara, what she was saying is as follows. You come with all your Torahs of, you stole it, there was a Yirsh, and Shin Rishus, and Shin Emas, and now it's not anymore the same Schach as they stole. It's based on the fact that you think that I despaired. I lost hope of my Schach. And therefore you want to claim that they can sit and can use this Schach and only pay me back the money. So she said, you forgot who I am. I'm Einikel of Avraham Avinu, who he ran with his 318 Seves Eliezer. Avraham taught us there's no reason to despair. And this is something which he instilled in his children and in Klal Yisrael. And therefore she said to Rav Nachman, I didn't despair, I didn't lose hope, and therefore I want my schach back. Now Rav Nachman said different because, as we said before, there was the Kunis Moreish, and therefore he said, please don't speak now, wait another few days. She insisted, like Ksasoifa said, and therefore she lost the schach. This is one explanation of a Tzudik HaKohen. There is another explanation I saw in the Sefer Lekach Valibuv of Avraham Shor, and he quotes there a Kedishas Yontif, and he bases on this, he explains this Gemura and the Psukim in Aparsh. When Melech Sodom comes after that war, Vayoyme Melech Sodom el Avram, ten li ha-nefesh, v'archush kachloch. Give me the people and keep the money. Then there's a strange pusik. Vayoyme Avram el Melech Sodom, harimoisi yudi el Hashem, I lift my hand to Hashem, keil helyoin, koine shemayim v'uretz, that's pusik chov beis, and pusik chov gimel, im michut v'atzroich nal, a string, a shoelace, im ekach mikol asher loch v'lo yisoymer an yesharti es avon. I won't take anything, I don't want you to claim afterwards, you are the source of my success. What is Pusik Chov Beis about? You should just answer, thank you very much for the present, I don't want presents of you. What is this Harimoisi Yudi El Hashem? The uncle says, Aremis Yedai Bitzloi, I daven to Hashem. It's very nice, but why are you saying that to Melech Sodom? What is he saying to Melech Sodom with Harimoisi Yudi? Rashi says, it was a Lush Meshvur, he swore to him. Why do you need to swear? If someone gives you a present, there's no need to swear. Just say, no, thank you. So he wants to say a third pshat. There is a sugya before this gemara we learned about mitzvah bubaveir. A long sugya, story of Avankere. And the gemara says there that you can't fulfill a mitzvah if it was done through something which was stolen. It's called the mitzvah bubaveir. Toises there says, even in a case where you acquire that stolen object and you change it, and now it's not anymore stolen, you might have a momentary obligation to pay back, it wouldn't be anymore mitzvah bubaveir. But to say a bruch on such an item is not right. It's not right to say a bruch on such an item. Meaning, even though, if halachically, this object belongs to you, but there's still some blemish in it. In order to perform a mitzvah, something has to be pure. And Shechnur Paskin says, Shechnur says, Kol arbu aminim psulim beguzeli begunif. If you stole the dalet minim, then the apusel. Bein lifnei yish, bein la'acha yish. Aval guzel v'kono beloy siyua mitzvah. But if you stole it, and therefore you, and afterwards you acquired it, in any way, kegoin guza lulev v'shifu, and you changed the lulev, kusha. Why? The konye b'shinemase, because now it's already a different object. However, says Shechnur, umiu loivurcholov. Meaning, even though if it is yours, for a mitzvah we need something more than that. It has to be pure. And therefore, as long as it's not fully pure, don't make a book. The Melech Sodom comes to Avraham and says, I lost all hope, it's yours, you can keep it. Avovina says, I can keep it, but I wouldn't be able to make a buch on it. There's some blemish, something which came through stealing, something which wasn't given to me originally. There's a blemish in it. And therefore I can't perform a mitzvah and make a buch. Which mitzvah is Avraham Avinu referring to? So says the Kedishas Yontif, Avraham Avinu, when he served Hashem, it reminds me, yesterday was the Yuletzad of the Rishne. The Rishne once was visited, the Chidishurim visited the Rishne, and he showed them around in his house, and he showed them his beautiful horses. The Chidishurim said, Gamze heaven. Yeah, horses are heaven. So the Rishne answered, Hevel, Adrushatevis of Hakol Buru Lichvoid. As the famous word of the Rishne, where he said, we say in Lashem Yichid, Leyachet Shem Yutke Bevufke. To bring together the Shem Yutke together with the Shem Vufke. What it means, we don't understand. But the Rishne said that if you look at most mundane things as Halicha, Yeshiva, Achile, Shsiye, Sheine, eating, sleeping, walking, all of that has a Yud and also the letter Hey. If you look at most spiritual things like Kedusha, Torah, Avoide, Kavune, you'll see the letters Vuv and the letter He. Yutke is in mundane things, and Vuvke is in spiritual things. Leyachet Shem Yutke bevuvke, meaning a person should realize there's no such thing as something mundane. Whatever old worldly things can be used in a positive way. If we are meyachet ruchnis with the gashmis, that's called Leyachet Shem Yutke bevuvke. Avraham Avinu was on that level. Avinu said, I'll use the money to go on holiday, to go on vacation. I'll use the money in a way which will serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. Just like when someone stole something, or he came to his, even though he acquired it afterwards, but there's still some blemish in it. He can't use it for a mitzvah. I can't use that for a mitzvah. Where did he say that to the Melech Sedoim? Vayoyimer Melech Sedoim el Avram, ten liya nefesh v'achush kach loch. It's yours, I despaired. Vayoyimer Avram el Melech Sedoim, harimoisi yudi el Hashem. I lift my hands. My hands means my possessions. Whatever I have, I lift to Hashem. And because I do that, I can't use your things. So the Melech said, okay, I understand. So give it back to me, and I'll give you a present. He said, present? No, that's the next pusik. Then he says, a present I don't want to receive. I don't want you to say